A very significant, serious story to start with, Neil. It is now very much up on UK websites, BBC, Daily Mail. It's obviously a big story here in Ireland, really breaking this morning. It concerns Gordon Elliott. He's cooperating with an investigation which has been launched.
Yeah, Joe. So leading racehorse trainer Gordon Elliott says he is cooperating fully with the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board following an image which was circulated on social media yesterday. A photo of a man sitting on a horse lying on the ground emerged on social media yesterday, and the IHRB have confirmed they are launching an investigation.
An emotional Mick Fitzgerald addressed the issue today on At the Races.
It's making me quite emotional because these horses have given me a life that I'm privileged to have. I've been in situations where horses that I have looked after and ridden have unfortunately, you know, paid the ultimate sacrifice in our sport. And the care and attention they get right till the very end, we have to emphasize to everybody watching that it's so important that people know that we care for these horses.
They are the superstars. At the end of the day, they are the stars of the sport, aren't they?
And well, they are. And we want to celebrate them and make them realise how much that we care for them and how much they are loved by everybody in the sport.
Yeah, they were good words by Mick Fitzgerald, and the emotion to match was almost reassuring, I think. It's worth remembering, Adrian, when this image first surfaced, the conversation around it was, is this real? Because this image was so grotesque, frankly. Surely it's a fake. This is so far over the line. There is no way that someone charged with looking after hundreds of horses would behave this way. This must be a fake. That was how this started.
Yeah, it's terrible. And there's Mick Fitzgerald, I watched that earlier on, and you couldn't put as fine a point on it as he's done. And I know you've a couple of speakers coming up later on, and I wouldn't have much to add in that regard. But I would say that I think it's a crucial 24, 48 hours now for racing in this country and in Britain as well. They're so closely tied together. I think that certainly I would go as far as to say that almost every conversation I had today, whether professionally or personal life, family, friends, people who wouldn't utter a word about racing from one end of the year to the other, know nothing about it, not even passive observers, they know the ins and outs of this. Everybody's heard about it. It's on front pages. It's leading news stories up and down the country and beyond. Everybody's heard a different rumour about it. Some of those have been bent out of all sorts of shape. People, as I said, no thoughts about it at all, have been appalled by the photograph and intrigued by, as I said, the rumour and counter-rumour that's gone on about it. And as we await the latest developments, obviously, as well, from the various authorities. But you can dress it up whatever way you want. It's a damaging day and a damaging 48 hours for racing, and it'll be interesting to see the reaction to it, because it needs to come. The reaction, I think, needs to be swift.
This photo speaks to a fear amongst the population, however big or small that fear is, I can't say, but it speaks to a fear of a portion of the population that horses are mistreated or not looked after as best they could be, because there's money and there's human nature involved. It would be remiss of me not to go through the Elliott statement, which you referenced as well, Johnny. So he apologised for any offence which was caused. He said the photo was taken, quote, after a horse had died of an apparent heart attack on the gallops. I appreciate an initial viewing of this photo suggests it's a callous and staged photo, but nothing could be further from the truth. Now, his explanation goes as follows. I was standing over the horse, waiting to help with the removal of the body, in the course of which, to my memory, I received a call, and without thinking, I sat down to take it. Hearing a shout from one of my team, I gestured to wait until I was finished, end quote. And I presume that's what he's saying is the gesture in the photo, which looks, for all intents and purposes, like he's making a V sign, as we sometimes do when we're being photographed. He accepted in the statement, this information will not allay the concerns of many people. I mean, I didn't think a statement could make things worse, but let's just start with the obvious here. Nobody absent-mindedly sits on a dead horse. I mean, I feel ridiculous having to state that, but let's just state that nobody absent-mindedly sits on a dead horse. And when your phone rings, I mean, we don't all just collapse. You know what I mean? We don't lose all our faculties just because our phone rings. I hope sincerely he doesn't have a hands-free set if this is what seems to happen. So without thinking, in his own terminology, Elliot, with one leg either side of the horse, I'm presuming he didn't flop down a la a comfy couch, but he lowers his weight down onto a horse until he feels the horse beneath him. He continues not to notice he's on a dead animal. So his faculties seemingly so compromised, in his own words here, by this phone call. And yet, despite all the absent-mindedness, he's able to look at a camera, he's able to make a gesture, but he still fails to notice he's on a dead horse. So there's a bit of a contradiction there for me. In my opinion, the V-sign gesture is a gesture. It didn't look to me like, here, give me 1 second, I'm on a really important call. His facial expression didn't suggest someone who was being bothered, I'm on a really important call and I forgot where I am. It looks like a smile. And then the point I made in the news round, something he didn't address, and this is the welfare issue and this is the general culture, and the authorities are going to have to look at this, the reaction of those around him. So at no point is the gentleman next to him, as his arms crossed, saying, Gordon, you've, without thinking, sat on a dead horse here. He's got his arms folded, he seems okay. One of the party, don't know if it's a member of staff, don't know if it's a friend of Elliot, I'm presuming it's not the first time Elliot has met this person, one of them deems this a photo opportunity. One of them calls Elliot's attention. That person takes the picture. That person feels safe in that environment, that here's the CEO of this yard, and this is okay behaviour. This won't result in a reprimand. This won't result in me being asked, what the hell are you doing, taking my photo like that? So the statement, I mean, if it wasn't so serious, frankly, it would be funny. But that, Johnny, is the issue here. That is why this is so damaging to the industry, because people look at that and they think, I don't like any of this. I don't like what any of this speaks to.
Everything that happened in relation to this was appalling. But the only point I wanted to make, the caveat I was trying to make, was that I do believe the horses in the yard are cared for very well.
Absolutely.
I think it is important to make that point, Joe.
Sure. No, it is, absolutely. You're a journalist, you're on the ground, if that's your belief, that is really important.
Yeah. And he has done his staff a massive disservice, an absolutely massive disservice. Johnny will you know, attest to this as well. Like, you see the his staff at the races, and you see them online. They often put stuff online, and the care and devotion these horses get, and how well turned out they are at the races, and they're burdened with this for the past couple of days. You know, they're by association kind of linked to it. He's done them a massive, massive disservice, and that's, you know, it comes back to the judgment thing here. He showed such poor judgment in this episode. And that is what, it's appalling, really, to think that a trainer of his stature could do something as stupid as this. And that's what it is. It was utterly stupid and crass and juvenile, as I've said already. And that is what's so disconcerting about all this, is that he didn't have the presence of mind, a man in his position. And this is someone, Joe, who has built this operation up. And I would have had huge admiration for Gordon over the years.
Yeah.
As far as I've been concerned, he is the most impressive self-made trainer since Jim Bulger, in terms of what he has built without any family backing, without any money behind him.
Yeah.
And to go and ruin it with an act that is just so despicable, is, you know, it makes no sense. He spent 15-16 years building this thing up, and he is a man who was so committed, and he attracted the biggest owners in the game. And to ruin it potentially with something so senseless is just so mind-boggling.
We should say, I'm sure he's gone through the horrors, right? And, like, there'll be forgiveness, there'll be a way out of this one way or another. So, you know, it's a tough time for him, I'm sure, and that should be said as well. So the Cheveley Park development, I suspect in part that's had something to do with the British Horse Racing Authority's move to suspend Elliot entries across British racing whilst the investigation is ongoing. Despite, obviously, you know, as we've established at this stage, not being in charge of the case. This is quite interesting, isn't it? They've acted unilaterally here. This is very much, you know, horse racing Ireland territory. Almost unprecedented, generally, I would presume, you know, both sides of the Irish Sea, the two authorities would generally act in tandem when it comes to things like suspensions. And if there was an investigation happening on one island, it would be the other would wait until that investigation was concluded. So this is pretty much unprecedented, I'm reading.
It's highly unusual, certainly. I don't know whether it's completely unprecedented. Generally, what would happen is that the authority who was in charge, who held the license of the licensee, would be the person, the authority that would act, and then other authorities would reciprocate on that decision. As you say, this is the BHA acting unilaterally and very unusually. I think there are going to be have to be bridges built between the Irish authorities and the British authorities after this. But seeing it from the British perspective, they are also acting on behalf of the sport as a whole, not just British racing, but Irish racing in general. Just as it is in Ireland, there has been a massive backlash to that image, and the British Horse Racing Authority felt that it needed to do some damage limitation, I would imagine, and so that is the reason that they have stepped in and made this call, and they made it at the time when they weren't sure at what point the IHRB will be able to come to the point of bringing a hearing process. So they stepped in and made a very decisive decision. Now, as I say, it's highly unusual. It is something that is going to require some bridge building afterwards. Right. But I think they did it in the best interests of the sport.
So you don't suspect the IHRB will be that enamoured with the British Horse Racing Authority decision?
I don't right. Because it's so unusual, and usually the protocol is to wait and reciprocate rather than the other way around. However, as I say, I would stress that this is a highly, thankfully, unusual situation, and so perhaps usual protocols are not to be applied.
Things happen. We all make mistakes, and you know, if you accept that we all make mistakes, it's actually how you recover that really matters, and how you win back the confidence. And, you know, we will do that as an industry. We will all do that. And there's a determination to do that. And, you know, it's been a very tough week. I think the tide turned a little bit because people felt really, really sorry for Gordon put his hands up straight away. And then people started to feel, you know, there was a human element to all of this as well. Guy who had come from nowhere and moved very quickly and built up a fantastic business with his own skill and all that, and this just happened, and you just have to feel really sorry. He's lost horses. Is Envoy Allen, is it the best horse since Arkell? I don't know. I mean, look at what he's done so far. Think of all the great trainers that have never had a really good horse. And here's a guy who's had that. So there's that. But, you know, that's only one part of it. The other part of it is how he knows that he's let himself and he's let his totally dedicated team down. And he knows that he's affected the industry. So it's been very difficult. But, you know, we will recover. Recovery is well on the way.
Yeah. Look, just for anybody who's hearing this after the announcement is made, we're still waiting to see exactly how the IHRB are going to deal with the suspension or whatever punishment they're going to handle down. So we'll talk about that at a later stage.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
And a very good evening to you. You're welcome along this Friday night to Off the Ball. It's Ger Gilroy with you through all the way until 9 o'clock tonight. Then End of Call will be along with Team 33 between 9 and 10. And then it's Splunk after that. But we're only starting in one place tonight, and that is the news that the IHRB have banned Gordon Elliott for essentially 6 months. It's a 12-month ban, but the final 6 months have been suspended. And with reaction to this, it's only broken in the last hour or so. We have Johnny Ward and Tom Malone with us. Johnny, we were on Friday Night Racing a little bit earlier on today at 3 o'clock, as we are every Friday afternoon on all of our social channels, speculating about what the outcome might be. And I think the 6 months was kind of expected in some ways.
Yeah, it's probably about where the line would have been in terms of what he might have gotten. I thought 3 to 6 months or something like that. The 6 months and 6 months suspended, seems to reflect, I guess, the severity of the damage done to racing. If you can come up with some sort of punishment that adequately would cover it. I think, it's well worth people reading the press release from the Turf Club or the IHRB, because it does go into the issues involved. And Gordon Elliott's statement tonight, I think, is very significant. It's an admission that is not unrelated to stuff that Ted Walsh would have said the other day on the radio, that, you know, maybe Gordon just needs to step back and take stock, not only of what happened here, but just his life in general. He alluded to the fact that he's not the young kid who was in Tony Martin's all those years ago, and maybe that he does need to reach that conclusion in his life now, that this is the jolt that he needed, and hopefully he can revive his career. But I suppose the most significant thing is he just seems to be taking it on the chin.
I accept my situation, my sanction, and I'm satisfied with my engagement with the IHRB. It's not an easy job sitting in the panel, but I was dealt with fairly, was the start of his statement on Twitter this evening. I'm in this situation by my own action, and I'm not going to dodge away from this. With my position in the sport, I have great privileges and great responsibility. I did not live up to that responsibility. I'm no longer the teenage boy who first rode a horse at Tony Martin's 30 years ago. I'm an adult with obligations and a position in a sport I've loved since I first saw horses race.
But I think a notable concession to the BHA by the IHRB would be the timing of the start of the ban. So normal procedure would be that it starts 2 weeks after the hearing, assuming there's no referral. They have brought that forward and they're starting the ban from the 9th of March. So that really helps the BHA, and it saves them any blushes, because they have really stepped out of their own lane here, and they decided to decline the entries from Gordon Elliott in the future. So the IHRB, by just moving that day to the 9th of March rather than what it should be, which is it should be from, you know, Saturday 2 weeks, which is the day after the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So the IHRB have helped the BHA in this aspect by bringing forward that ban to make sure that there is no embarrassment for them with horses travelling to Cheltenham and the like.
We spent all day waiting for the IHRB Twitter account to update, and we're going to spend the evening waiting for the British Horse Racing Authority Twitter account to update, because they've said in the last hour they're aware of the outcome of today's IHRB Referrals Committee hearing regarding Gordon Elliott. We will issue a statement in response this evening. So that's about the horses in Cheltenham, and that's about what length of ban he'll suffer in the UK. I'd say, you know, whatever about the ban, the imminent thing is the horses at Cheltenham. What options are open to any owner who has horses that are entered for Cheltenham but are currently trained by Gordon Elliott, who they want to continue sending there? What are the options, Tom?
They can just do like Sheeby Park did and moved into another trainer. But I mean, you're talking about several hundred horses. So if you're talking about the Cheltenham team, you're probably talking about the guts of 50 horses who would be heading to Cheltenham from Gordon Elliott's, who are non Sheeby Park owned. So it's quite a lot. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Gordon Elliott has surrendered very much here. So I wonder, is there an opportunity perhaps for him to hand his license over, and maybe the staff to retain their jobs or something like that? So there's still another major play here, because the owners of Cheltenham Horses in particular are still left very much up in the air. I mean, it'll be intriguing to see if the IHRB have some sort of plan for them to come over the next while, whether that be maybe allow one of Gordon's assistants perhaps to take over the license. If Gordon has agreed to completely step away, and looks like he has, I mean, that, you know, that 6 month voluntary exclusion from race courses and point to points is a significant part. So he will be, you know, he will make himself invisible to official horse racing. So that's obviously a good part from an optics point of view. So it's just intriguing to see what happens next, whether maybe they could be transferred to another trainer. I mean, that's up to individual owners, but what happens to the staff and the operation itself? I mean, perhaps, you know, it could be a situation like a big football club where you change manager. I mean, that, I don't know whether that's an option or not.